Good morning. Good morning. How is everyone? How are you, Tom? How you doing?
Man, you look good today.
Extra good. You always look all angles. If you haven't seen Tom today, he looks really good. Extra good. Always looks good, but today looks extra good. I see a couple guys at the first timers table. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here. Looking forward to this morning. Good morning to the guys online. Really looking forward to today. David's going to come on up, and David is going to introduce to us, again, another guy who doesn't need any introduction, but we're going to introduce you. So, David, why don't you talk to us about the gentleman who's speaking this morning.
Back in 2008, we started meeting at my home, a small group of guys. We met 2008 every Friday, 7 a.m., and 2009 every morning, and then 2010, and we had a process, and this is how the process would work. The guys would come in, they'd park in the front yard, they'd remove their shoes. That's important. My wife said, if guys are coming in the house, I need them to remove their shoes. All right, so you remove your shoes, you come in this door, you don't come in that door. That's the front door, you come in the back door. So guys, come in the back door, you're family now, all right, but remove your shoes. So one Friday morning, there's a guy, I know who he is, but he comes in the wrong door, and he has his shoes on. So he doesn't know the special handshake. Somehow he gets into the group, and that's our speaker this morning. And he's been doing life with me since 2010, and this is a man's man. And I love Jesse. He and I co-lead the first timers table together. So every Friday, he and I, and if any of you guys have not gone through the rite of passage of the first timers table, first, shame on you. You've missed some great stuff that Jesse and I have talked about. But if you have, which the majority of you have, how many of you guys have gone through the first timers table? All right, look around. And we got how many first timers? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 this morning, all because you heard Jesse was speaking, right? Welcome, men, to the first time Ironman. So Jesse, married to Christine, one of his sons is here this morning. Awesome. But let me open us up in prayer before Jesse Stanley comes up and leads us this morning. Father, thank you so much for Jesse. Thank you for friends like Jesse in my life. I'm so proud to have him as a friend. Thank you for his relationship with his sons and his daughter and his bride, that I get to witness that. And thank you, Father, for how you've designed this man. He's such a deep thinker. And anytime I get stuck on something, I can always go to Jesse and he straightens me right out. And I'm thankful for that. Father, thank you for him. And I pray you'd bless his words this morning as you speak through him. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. So guys, if you could give Jesse Stanley a nice warm Ironman.
All right. Good morning, man. Wow. I mean, like, I could just go home. I could go back to bed right now. That just completed my day. So, David, thank you for calling out my son, Nate, who surprised us last night with a little visit. He's up in Georgia and didn't expect to see him. So I walked in from work last night, kind of in a hurry because Christine and I are out. I see this strange car in my front yard and I'm thinking, I think I know this car. It's not his, but I think I know it. Sure enough, I walk in and there he is. So glad you're here, Nate. Okay, so I've got my notes. I'm going to jump into them in just a second. But how many of you have done this, have been a teaching fellow? Looking, okay, that's beautiful. If you haven't and you've been asked, really pray about that. Really pray about saying yes. And no, I'm not speaking about anybody in particular. So for a living, I get to speak. I get to teach, right? I delivered 2 one-hour sessions on Wednesday. I have another 10 coming up this month. And I will tell you that this is way more nerve-wracking. I sat stood in front of 400 people Wednesday. Half of them were law enforcement. I wasn't nervous. I am nervous right now. Why do you think I'm nervous? My zipper's down. My son is here. Yes, those are very good. Yeah, those are good. I'm nervous for 2 reasons. Number 1, because we're talking about things of God. Number 2, because you men mean something to me. Not that those other 400. Okay, strike that. You men mean something different to me. Obviously, I care deeply about what you think. So if you get a chance, go through this. Unless you're afraid. If you're afraid to feel nervous, well, then if you're driven by fear, don't do this. All right. Do I need to keep going? All right, I'll stop. All right. Here we go. Men, will you stand with me as we read the word of God? All right. This is Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14. This commandment I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it too remote. It is not in heaven as though one must say, who will go up to heaven and get it for us and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? And it is not across the sea as though one must say, who will cross over to the other side of the sea and get it for us and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? For the thing is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your mind so that you can do it. Don't sit down yet. I'm going to ask you a question, then I'm going to keep reading. Are those verses still true for us today? But wait, before you answer, I want you to think about this. Are they true for us today? Let me read on a few more verses and I'll ask it again. Look, I have set before you today life and prosperity on the one hand and death and disaster on the other. What I am commanding you today is to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, a little harder, and to obey his commandments, his statutes, and his ordinances. Then you will live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are about to possess. However, if you turn aside and do not obey, but are lured away to worship and serve other gods or other things that are more enticing to you, other things you'll get your power from, I declare to you this very day that you will certainly perish. Now let me ask you again, say it confidently, do these verses apply to us today? All right, we just gave an oath. Men, have a seat. Thank you. Okay, so over the next few weeks, we're going to be continue focusing on the book by Pat Morley, How God Makes Men. This is how God shows men the true path to happiness. Hopefully you got a chance to see Doug Hurley last week. Who got to see Doug last week? Awesome, yep. So Doug is my brother-in-law. He is not like that day to day. So for special times, he comes up and gives good performances. Nate, he's a cool guy though, isn't he? So, all right, so we are talking about that. Our figure this month that we're talking about is Solomon, who was the wisest and richest man on earth. Most of you have read about him. But I'm going to ask you this question. Was he happy? Well, depends on your definition of happiness, right? Let's see, yeah, for a few minutes. For sex, if sex makes you happy, was he happy? Multiple partners, yes. Money, wealthiest man ever. Beauty. He had beauty all around him. Finances, support, and intelligence so that he could innovate and create. Must have been extremely happy. Conquest. Yeah. If conquest makes you happy, he was very happy. Comfort. If comfort makes you happy, he was extremely happy. But what about God? Did he have God? Was he happy because of his relationship with God? I'm going to come back to that. Tell you a quick story. So years ago, it was a few years before I joined Ironman, one of my prayers was, God, make me a man of action, right? I got the thinking part down. It's kind of what I do. I speak, it's what I do, but I want to get things done. I want to be like a Dave Ogden, a guy who says, you know what? Men need to be able to come together, and I'm going to activate that. And that's just not in my DNA. And so I was praying about that and praying about it hard and saying, God, you know, challenge me. Give me these opportunities. And one day, a buddy and I were talking, and he's a real estate guy, and we were just talking about real estate and lots, and this was during that boom. And he said, well, you know, there's this lot for sale over by West Orange Golf Club. Or it's not for sale. He said, there's this lot available. I said, oh, that's a great subdivision. And he's like, well, I own a lot there. You know, you and Christine should buy a lot there. I'm like, well, is there anything? He's like, well, there's one empty lot. It's not available. I'm like, oh, well, that's too bad. He's like, no, man, I'm in real estate. You don't wait till it's for sale. You go pursue it. And I felt God saying, be a man of action. So I said, okay, I'll take that. So I start doing my record search and I find out that, man, some of you may know who he is. Marv Rosenthal owns the lot. And I didn't know who Marv was at the time. It's just Marv Rosenthal. And so I start, you know, tracking him down and making phone calls. And I'm feeling good about this. Like, okay, this is not my norm, right? I finally track him down. I get his son becomes his kind of agent on this and talking. And so long story short, we go back and forth for months. I mean, months. And it's kind of like this. Hey, you know, I think I'm interested in your dad's lot. Is he interested in selling? Well, I don't know. He might. Call me back in 3 weeks. Okay. So I'd mark it down, and follow up is also not one of my skills. But I wanted to be a man of action. I was praying on this. And so I'd call him back. And then it would be like, well, yeah, he might be interested. You know, think of a price. Okay. And then, you know, a week later, well, no, I'm not sure he's interested. And this dance was going on. In fact, 3 times I thought the deal was dead. And each time I was so thankful. And I said, God, thank you for putting me on that journey. You took me out of my comfort zone. Thank you. What a great journey. And then he'd call back and say, oh, blah, blah, blah. And he is interested now. One time I drove by the lot in the morning and there was a foundation being poured on it. I'm like, oh, he's building this house. Clearly the lot is dead. All the way down to work, I praise God. I said, thank you, God. Thank you for, you know, just closing that door, and thank you for that journey, and let me do something good with it. And I called Dave, his son, and I left a message, and I said, hey, man, I saw that you guys are building. Listen, it's been great getting to know you. I got it. The deal's dead. You know, wish you well. Hope to see you around. Don't hear from him. Yes. 3 weeks later, he calls me back. He says, Jesse, what are you talking about? We're not building on the lot. I said, no, there's a foundation on your lot. He's like, you're looking at the wrong lot. I'm like, Dave, I'm not looking at that. That would be something I would do, but not in this case. I'm not looking at the wrong lot. He's like, no, you're wrong. I said, I would suggest you check it out. He calls me back the next day. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. The contractor for, you know, the lot next door where they were planning on building, they surveyed the wrong lot. And I'm like, oh, this saves me $30,000, you know? I said, listen, don't tell him to raise it right now. Just I'll sign whatever you want me to sign, like, you know, a release, and I'll buy it, you know, that's going to save me money. And of course, that didn't work out. The lawyer said no. And so let me bring this story to a pause real quick. We end up buying the lot. The deal, you know, Marv says, yes, let's do this. And then I'm like, I actually don't want to buy this lot. This was not about me buying a lot. I was not looking for a lot. I really just wanted to be a man of God and, you know, man of action and do this. So I prayed about it. And all I got was, God set me on this path. Let him stop me, right? So I felt pretty good about that. I saw God in the whole process. Let me come back to our book. So Patrick Morley, his bottom line on happiness is, he says this, God makes men by making it impossible for us to find lasting happiness in any pursuit apart from him. So you only find lasting happiness in God. God was in the purchase of that lot, for sure. And it caused me a lot of grief. It did, because that's about when the story was less happy, right? We were planning to build, but then it ended up not being right for our family. Right away, I had two unsolicited offers for, like, I don't know, 70 and almost 100% more than I had just paid for it. I thought, there's a sign from God. So what did I do? I chose the more expensive offer, right? The higher offer. I chose wrong, by the way. That deal fell through. The market crashed. I ended up with this pretty expensive lot over on West Orange Country Club that I really didn't want, really couldn't afford. Christine was very supportive, but if she was here now and you asked her, oh, did you want to do that? She would say, no, that was not the right decision, you know, but Jesse was trying to follow God's will. And what I conclude from that is that God can be with you. He can be giving you insight. He can be empowering you, just like he did with Solomon. He can help you succeed. And your achievements, your results, your happiness is still focused on you. God can be with you, and it still can be all about you. My focus was to become a man of action, to get better at getting things done. God was in it, but he was not my focus. Earlier in Ecclesiastes, God says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, says Colette, all is vanity. Y'all know that phrase, that verse, vanity is vanity, all is vanity. Another word for vanity is sometimes translated meaningless. The word is in the Hebrew is actually hevel. It's either H-E-V or H-E-B-E-L, hevel. And it's related to the life of Abel, from Cain and Abel. Some of you might remember us talking about this before. Abel lived an okay life, as far as we know, right? Son of Adam and Eve. What we know is he made a good sacrifice. God was pleased with what he did, and then he died. He was unjustly murdered by his brother. Does that sound like meaninglessness? It doesn't to me. To please God is not vanity. To please God is not meaningless. To actually be the victim of unjust murder is not meaningless. Would you agree with that? So that translation is a little bit off, and what they're trying to say is that it is not the end of us. It is not the complete us, because he goes on to talk later about what is the job of man. So obeying God is not vanity. Being unjustly harmed is not meaningless. My foray into real estate was a train wreck. It was an absolute train wreck. I eventually sold the lot for less than I bought it. That sounds familiar, right? Because many of us did that. But here's the deal. God was still in it because I needed that cash at that time because my business was struggling. So it's almost like he had allowed me to go down this path so that I'd have a reserve of cash right when I need it. His fingerprints were all over that season, but I'm just going to be honest, listening to God was not my focus. It wasn't, especially at that point. Recovering was my focus. Embarrassment, feeling a little bit of shame, kind of looking at my wife thinking, okay, I do remember I need to remember that lesson that you are right often, right? When we make our plans, maybe our question shouldn't be, is God in it? You've asked that, right? Hey, is God in this? We've heard our pastors ask that, is God in this? God is in this. Maybe that shouldn't be our question. Maybe it should be, is God in all of it? Not is he in it, because he's in a lot of things, but is he in all of it? Is he in your desires? Is he in what is going to actually make you happy? Let me go back to Solomon. I asked, was he happy? Did he have God? Yeah, he had God. That was all over. I know he was distracted with a thousand other things, but he had God. Solomon knew God. Solomon was richly blessed by God in ways that none of us can even imagine. But Solomon, the wisest man on earth, was deceived, pursued things that weren't true. He also was proud. He failed to walk in humility. Deceit and pride, truth and humility. Those are two threads that we're going to actually be pulling the rest of the month. We're going to pull on those two threads. You don't have to stand for this. I'm going to read a little bit more from Ecclesiastes. Having heard everything, I reached this conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments, because this is the whole duty of man. For God will evaluate every deed, including every single thing, whether good or evil. That last sentence, we don't usually throw in there, do we? We say, fear God, you know, like when we're talking about Solomon, you know, that's the whole duty of man, keep his commandments. But it ends this way, for God will evaluate every deed, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Now, in a minute, we're gonna break, and your table leaders have three questions. When you're going through these three questions, I just want you to do your best to really dig down and just think about where your heart really is and what it really lines with. And if you don't mind, before we break, I'm going to pray. Are y'all good with that? You know, it's funny I say that. Are y'all good with that? Do you think that would stop me if somebody said, no, don't pray? It wouldn't stop me. All right, Father God, I just lift these men up to you, these incredible men, these men who are pursuing you, and they want you in what they're doing. They want you in their lives. I ask during this time, Lord, that we talk together, that you would give them memories that would be beneficial to the discussion. Give them recall of things that they could share so that the man next to them could be blessed. I ask you to give them strength to share what may be uncomfortable, what, like in my case, felt a little shameful. And I ask you to give them humility to listen, humility to hear their brothers, to get wisdom out of somebody maybe they don't think has a lot of wisdom because, well, you know, he said other things. Listen to him. Father God, give them the humility most of all to listen to you and to honor you. And help us to be true men of action, Father. Men who truly seek after your heart, not just looking for what you're in, but for what you are all in. We love you, Lord. And it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray these things. And all of God's men said,
amen.
Awesome. Appreciate you, man. Table captains, we're going to hand the floor over to you, and we'll spend the rest of the morning at our tables.